enduring whatever comes your way. Being a long sufferer, it means that you never give up and you never give in. You're never broken down. No matter how bad the attack is, I'm going to stand anyway. Amen. Hallelujah. Gentleness. Amen. Gentleness is being kind and good, useful and helpful, gentle, sweet, considerate, gracious through all situations, no matter what the circumstance, you handle it in a gentle way. I'm not rough. I'm not going to huff and puff and blow your house down, but I'm going to be what? Gentle. Amen. I'm going to be gentle with how I talk to you. I'm going to be gentle on how I handle you, even if my day bad. You know, sometimes people will call me and I'll be like, oh, my goodness. At work. I'm just saying at work. Amen. They'll call me and I'll be like, oh, I just did this and I just gave you the answer and I just showed you this. I just did this for you. And then you call me and pretend like you don't know what's going on. And it just, and I'll be like, I want to just tell them. And so I just stop and I say, I shut my mouth and just breathe out of my nose and let them talk. And when they're done, I say, yeah. And I'll do it again for you and I'll send it to you. Being gentle. It takes some work to be able to be gentle. Amen. It takes work to be gentle because automatically you want to say, you know what, this don't make no sense. Do you read it? I'd have people, I send an email or something to them and they don't even read it. And they'll email me something back and I'm like, if you read down below, you got your answer. But I don't. I just stop and I say, right down below that, I had put this, this, and this. Did you see that? Oh, no, I didn't see it. Oh, okay, well, it's there. Oh, okay, thank you. Well, now you're welcome. Thank you. And I hang up the phone. Amen. Gentle. I ain't always been gentle. Some things can put me over. Amen. Goodness is being full of virtue, excellence, kindness, helpful, peace, and consideration. It means that a person is full of all good and he does all good. And it means that he's a good heart person that has a good behavior, good, and he does good, and he has good quality, a good quality person. Basically saying that this person is considerate. You know, I don't know if they teach that nowadays, but I always try to tell my kids, my daughter especially, I say, you know, you got to consider the other person. No matter what's going on, you got to consider the other person. You don't just walk through a person, two people talking. Have consideration to walk around. Amen. You know, I'm just giving that example. You don't open a door and you see somebody that...
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell. Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Pimpy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Pimpy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
getting right with God. What is interesting about this message is that this is not a heathen speaking. This is not one who is without relationship with God. This is not one who does not know the laws of God. One who was not reared in the knowledge of God. But this was one who was known as a man after God's own heart. This psalm is the Psalm of David that has brought great aggravation and agitation. And in his ability to analyze the situation, he recognizes that if you're ever going to move from that place of guilt and grief and misconduct, you're going to have to acknowledge that you messed up. You're going to have to acknowledge that you missed the mark. You fell short. And you need God's forgiveness. If you're ever going to be true to yourself and be who you are supposed to be in God and with God, you're going to have to admit when you're not right that you've got to get right. You might be able to hide from man, but may I be clear with you? You can't hide from God. You can't even hide from your conscience. And his conscience was eating him up. His conscience was bothering him. His conscience was saying to him, you are not right. Every morning when he looked in the mirror, his conscience was saying, there's nothing good there. No matter how good you may look, there's something underneath the skin that's just not right. Everything changes. His praise began to change. His worship began to change. His walk began to change. His talk began to change. His actions began to change. Why? Because his conscience knew that there were some lingering issues that he had not dealt with. And my brothers and sisters, so many of us, like David, have pretended and performed for so long that we've gotten by, but let me be clear, we've not gotten away. And as long as you desire to be in God's presence, sin cannot dwell in the presence of God. And so you'll talk to him, but you won't hear him talking back to you. You'll give to him all you've got, but you won't have the blessings flowing in your life like they used to flow. You won't be in the same place where you used to be with God, because sin prevents those things from happening, because God hates sin. Loves the sinner, but hates sin. And so, those of you who are not familiar with this story, this is David's confession of his sin with Bathsheba. One balmy evening, Bathsheba was in bathing pool, the reflecting pool underneath the veranda of King David, and he looked out and saw Bathsheba bathing. Now what she was doing bathing in his reflecting pool, I don't know, but she was there. And he saw her, and she was beautiful and voluptuous, and he desired her and had her brought to him. And if you know the story, he then committed adultery, and then when he committed adultery, she became pregnant, and His or her husband was one of his strongest fighting warriors, and he tried to send him back home to enjoy the pleasures of his house. In other words, hopefully thinking that he made his wife pregnant. And when he would not sleep with his wife because he fought for the king and for his country and felt like, if my brothers are still on the front line, I cannot be at home enjoying the pleasures of home. So he wouldn't even sleep with his wife. And when she reported back to David what had happened, he sent a note by Uriah, her husband. And note said, put him on the front line, and in the heat of battle, retreat, ensuring that he would be killed in battle, thus making it easier for him to marry the pregnant woman that he impregnated through adultery. Listen, the plot thickens. Oh, what a wicked web we weave when first we practice to deceive. And it went from adultery to murder. And all of the story, you can find it if you want and take some time in your devotional time, read it in 2 Samuel chapter 11. You'll find the story unfolding in its fullness. And one of the things that God knows how to do is reach us where we are. He sent the prophet Nathan to him to tell him a little story. And he told him the story, and when he heard the story simply made sense to him, because when he discovered that the story really wasn't a story in generality, but in particular reference to him, he knew that God knew his business. And I want to say this to you, my brothers and sisters. God has a way. Nathan wasn't there, but God was. And when God sends someone to speak something you know they don't know nothing about, God is just reminding you, whatever you do in the dark is coming to the light, because his eyes and his ears are in every place. And so he begins in this 51st Psalm saying, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy tender, the abundance, the multitude of thy tender mercies. And then notice what he says, blot out my transgressions. Now this word blot was a very strong word. And it was used, and of course in the New Testament we do recognize that only the pure blood of Jesus Christ can blot out our transgressions. And when it blots out our transgressions, it literally means that our record cannot be read. Now, in the Old Testament times, when something was blot out, it was the same reason. It was so that that patron not only had a paid out receipt, but his name was blotted out that did not record that he had ever made a purchase. It was to show that there never ever was anything there. And so when he said to God, blot out my transgressions, he was saying to God, God, I want you to treat this matter as though it never happened. Then he starts walking through, starts saying things like, wash me, cleanse me. Walk on down to the 7th verse, he's talking about purge me with hyssop and wash me. Walk on down to the 9th verse, he's talking about blot out my iniquities. And he walks all the way through, but verse 4 is where I want to focus a few moments at, because here is the heart of the matter where he takes responsibility for getting himself right with God. Here's where I want you to focus, because though I know you don't have the sins of King David, you've got some sins. And whatever your sin may be, it usually falls under that category of secret sins that most folk don't know about. You got some sins that you've done and that you're doing or that you're looking forward to doing. You're making plans for some of you sitting right here in God's house and got plans to sin after service. Plans this week. Plans you've already orchestrated. So don't act like David is the only one who's got to get it right with God. Listen. He says, against thee only. So the first thing I want you to recognize is the character of the sinner. David recognizes, my brothers and sisters, after his relationship with God, that what he did was far beyond anybody who say they know God. Especially the king, especially one whom the Lord has handpicked from being a shepherd boy all the way and elevated him to the king of Israel. And for him to do what he did was not just in the flesh, but it was a sin against God. And my brothers and sisters, sometimes when we sin in this body, in the carnality of our mind, we don't think things through. Sometimes our flesh, if we allow our flesh to take over, we just simply do what our flesh wants us to do without understanding the consequences of these actions. Yes, he was the king and he could make anything happen that he wanted to happen. But how many of you know just because you can make it happen don't mean you ought to make it happen? Just because you can do some things don't mean you ought to do some things. You've got to show restraint and discipline, control. Because you can open some doors, there are some doors you ought not ever open. And so David recognized now his problem was he sinned against God. He sinned with Bathsheba, but he sinned against God. Listen, when he recognized this, he said, against thee only. Now listen at this, because it shows the character of David. He had a heart that was turned toward God. He knew God's heart. He knew God didn't go for that. He knew God wasn't going to let that stand like that. He knew God was going to require something of him for that. And so he's crying out now, and he's being as real as he can be. And I want to throw this out parenthetically. Sometimes you got to get by yourself and be real with God. Now let me also keep it real. You can't tell everybody everything. Don't be no fool now. Because there are some folk who act like they know and they understand and they're there for you and all that. And if they hear your story, they will strip every piece of glory they can from you. When they act like they've never sinned themselves. So you can't tell everything to everybody. But you ought to be able to tell God everything. And so he recognizes this. So we look at the character of the sinner. He says, against thee only. Now listen to this. He now talks about the condemnation of the sin. Have I sinned? Have I, David, the king of Israel, committed adultery and murder? Have I sinned? That condemnation came upon him because he recognized, listen, he was above certain things. And because he was above certain things, he allowed his flesh to bring him under certain things. And he became condemned in his own spirit. He looked from without within and didn't like what he saw. My brothers and sisters, this condemnation of sin would not let him rest, would not give him peace, would not allow him to go on with his life as though nothing had happened. Because you do know the story. When the baby got here, the baby was sick, and he prayed that the baby would be recovered, that it would be healed, and he fasted and prayed and fasted and prayed and fasted and prayed, but God would not let that baby live. However, look at the mercy of God. He then gives him Solomon, the wisest man, save Jesus, that ever walked the earth. Now listen to this. His condemnation led to his confession. I sinned. Have I sinned? I sinned. He's confessing this to God, because what you've got to know, my brothers and sisters, is you have got to confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness if you confess your sins. I'm talking about getting it right with God now. Some of you wondering why your life isn't going the way that it ought to be, how things aren't flowing in your life, why you can't seem to get ahead. You take one step forward and get knocked back 10 steps. I'm trying to help you understand you might have to get it right with God. And it might be for a past sin. One that you've tried to bury and forget about and act as if it never happened. And you never confessed to God. And then next thing you'll note is the cognizance of his sin. He was cognizant. He was aware that he had done this before God. In the heat of the moment, he didn't think that God was watching him, because Satan had blinded his eyes. He saw what he wanted and what he wanted only. How many times have we put our mind on one thing and forgot about God looking down low? And David just focused on Bathsheba, and he forgot about God in that moment. And in that moment, the enemy got him. What he did in a moment, he's regretting for a lifetime. Don't fool yourself. You better think about the consequences of your actions. Because what you do today could end your tomorrow. The mistake you make today could affect your tomorrow. The decisions you make in your youth can determine how well you live tomorrow. That's why I caution a lot of our young folk about putting all their business on Facebook. Don't you know now, employers are looking at Facebook pages. Don't you know now, people of all interest, and I've discovered that everybody who's friends with somebody that you're friends with got can observe your pictures and all the rest of that mess you're putting on Facebook, and who cares what you about to eat and what you just done? You about to go take a bath. Well, that smells like a good idea, but you ain't got to put it on Facebook. It tracks you down where you are. It lets folk know where you are. You can lie and say, I'm over across town, and they can see where you are. And you put all your information, and it's out there. You can't take it back. Oh, you might be able to erase it from your paper or your page in the moment, in the immediacy of the moment, But I got news for you. It's still there. And people are judging you based on all of this stuff. I wonder if people have lives with all of the stuff they put on Facebook. Yes, it's a useful tool in a useful way, but look at how so many people make it a part of their daily lives. Spend more time on Facebook than they ever do with their face in the book. And so when you don't recognize, my brothers and sisters, that God is watching you, looking at you, listening at you, all of these things you're going to have to give an account for. He says all of this evil he did in God's sight. So what he wanted God to do was for the clearing of his sin. He wanted him to be clear. He know God is a just God. And when God would say whatever he meant, he was justified in saying it. And when he made his judgment, he was clear in his judgment. But here is the point. If God forgave him, and if God chose to make the judgment an easy judgment on him, it didn't matter what the court of opinion of people said. If God forgives you, it doesn't matter who doesn't forgive you. If you get it straight with God and recognize God is the one who justifies you, and justifies you means just as if you didn't do it, the same as blotting out. Listen, that's what really matters. You know, when you go through the court system, the legal system, and you get something blotted out, it's called expunged from the record. It's expunged from the record. It's literally blotted out. You can't go back there and find it because they blotted it out the record. It's not for public record. And people don't see all of the things. Thank God that when we get it right with God, God will do for us what man won't do for us. He'll give us another chance if we'll be real with him, if we'll be honest with him. He'll make work what does not work. If we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, God will make things work right in our lives. Now you remember, this is the king of Israel. He is the man at the top as it relates to God's people. And if he sinned, fell short. Can I tell you that wasn't no little sin he sinned? It was at the top of the list of worse. And yet, he humbled himself and went before God and got himself together, because in the end, it meant more to be right with God than to pretend and perform it's all right with man. He knew in the end that his soul was empty and longing, and that he needed that place with God. My brothers and sisters, it's nothing like the peace of God underneath the skin. It's nothing like being able to sleep with the peace of God over your life. The peace of God in your life. To know that when you lay down with God's protective eyes and his hand all over you, and that it is well. It's good to know that you are at one with God. And when you pray,